Hi, I'm William Tullett from Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge.
And I'm Hannah McCann from the University of Melbourne in Australia.
And welcome to the Pandemic Sensory Archive, a collection of voices from sensory experts on the fate of the five senses during and after the COVID-19 pandemic.
This project has been sponsored by the British Academy, and we hope that you enjoy the interview. So do you want to introduce yourself and give us a sense of your expertise when it comes to the sense of touch?
Sure. My name is Marinda. I am an artist. My expertise when it comes to touch, I think it's been a lifelong fascination or just way of being in the world for me. I've always kind of navigated the world through a tactile way. So I have memories even as a kid, you know, going on a bushwalk or something like that, and always touching the leaves and exploring different textures of rocks or leaves, etc. And also even things like different kinds of fabrics. I have always had a secondhand shop where you have all these different fabrics mixed together, or and a kind of thing about touching different kinds of fabrics and understanding what they are and how my body responds to different textures. Yeah, I don't know exactly though. I don't think I have any kind of expertise except for an interest, which is also kind of become part of my process in my art making as well, that I'm usually coming at it from a tactile and all senses, but very tactile led.
And it seems like touch has been a kind of key theme in some of your artworks. I noticed that before the pandemic you were doing a collaborative piece called Fully Automated Human Touch. Can you tell us about that?
That work is an ongoing development, and it's a performance piece collaborating with Matt Cornell, who's a Sydney-based choreographer. And we started a collaboration because we're both really fascinated with we're having conversations about food and how there's a thing my mum always said as a kid, like if you cook while you're angry, you're putting bad energy into the food. So we had this kind of difference in opinion around whether human touch in your food and how you kind of input love into food would affect the outcome for the other person consuming your food or not. That has developed into this idea looking at future and what kind of future we might have with automation, where food is not touched at all by human hands, which is true for much of the food we currently consume, and what kind of effect that has on our human bodies. It's a kind of science fiction future. It's speculative fiction in performance, which is an interesting place to be in, and but that's that project. And it's definitely led, it looks at intimacy, food, and futures essentially.
I mean, what do you think the role of touch is in those experiences of things like eating food? I mean, how important is it compared to a fully automated future? Is something lost in that?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think, and if we can imagine a future where your food is not touched by any human hands, I can also imagine the kind of world that happens in. It's quite isolated, and it's kind of a pulling on a thread of what we are currently going through and what we've been going through. I mean, it's definitely been heightened, or maybe it's like shone a spotlight on it through the pandemic, but the kind of intense loneliness and individualistic way of being in the world, I think, was here before the pandemic, and it's just kind of heighten that. So I can imagine that future. It's quite dystopian to me to think of a world where we don't touch our food. The idea of being more disconnected from other humans and the living world is quite scary. But it's a reality that we do have to consider, especially with things like coronavirus and, you know, what else is potentially coming, because we know that the world we're moving into isn't going to get particularly, like, there's not going to be less of these kinds of viruses. So, yeah, it's sorry, I've kind of forgotten the question exactly.
just about how important it is, that kind of, I guess, the human connection that touch represents in terms of things like experiences of food. And I think, you know, you're touching on how the pandemic has really highlighted these things that were kind of happening before the pandemic. And I'm wondering, like, how has your thinking about and your experiences of touch in your work changed during the pandemic with this heightening?
Well, it was interesting because the other work that I made, Imprints, which the IMA asked me, they said, you know, can you make a work about touch? That was the commission. And through making it and then actually performing it, it was really quite an intense experience of having that deep connection with strangers and giving, kind of creating it. It was essentially a service where I would hold people wearing PPE so that there was no risk of any potential virus risk. This process of giving a service of holding the other person was it was like an energetic transfer. I know that sounds a little bit strange, but I really felt that maybe it was the people that came to the work were people that were feeling that intense loneliness or were really feeling the isolation because of the pandemic, or maybe it's something we're all feeling to a degree. And so it was this real, like, some people said to me afterwards, you know, oh, I haven't been held like that, you know, even though I have a partner at home. And it's not a thing we really take the time to do that often. Most of us is to really take a moment and give that to someone else. So I think that was interesting. I also, I guess, at this very start of the pandemic, I spent, it was a few weeks where I didn't have any contact with anyone else when we first had lockdowns. And I really noticed that kind of heightened for me, oh, wow, I really do touch things a lot. So one thing was just like even how I'm, yeah, like I said earlier, kind of touching the world, because suddenly I was aware that, you know, I wasn't meant to be touching things because I didn't want to, you know, be spreading anything, creating any potential risk when we didn't know how easily that would happen, etc. So I was suddenly very conscious of how much I navigate my way in the world through touch. Yeah.
Well, it sounds, I mean, going back to your artwork, Imprints, it sounds like that must have been a pretty full-on process, like offering yourself up to hold strangers for many hours.
Yeah, it was. I knew it was going to be exhausting, but I certainly didn't. It wasn't until after I'd done it once that I was like, oh, wow, okay, I need to have a day where I don't talk to anyone after this. Just to feel back into myself. You really accumulate the emotions of other people, kind of, and what their needs are when you set that up in that way. But that was also exactly what I was trying to do. So that was okay. definitely. But yeah, it is something to consider how we what we need from each other and how we can have better relationships, I think, and connections to people. Yeah, and the living world as well. I think there's I'm also thinking a lot recently in the last year, I guess, over this time as well, my work is also often about our connection to the living world and the more than human world, and just thinking about how, like, there's one exercise I've been doing and playing with where I will go through a process of just feeling the textures of the plants and maybe a rock or things like this, and but instead of it just being me touching things, I think we often think of, in a kind of Western canon of thought, that we're touching things and it's very much everything's an object that we're in contact with, and this subtle shift of also imagining how that rock or leaf or even something completely inanimate, if that's also, I think it's also interesting to consider how that's also touching us and what impact that is having back on, or imprint it's having back onto our bodies and our way of being in the world as well. It's also something that I've been thinking about that's interesting, I think, and just shifts our perspective a bit on touch. Not that we're just touching things, but how those are also connecting back to us.
A reciprocal kind of touching.
Yeah, it's kind of like giving animism to the world. It just shifts how you consider everything around you, I think.
And I think it's interesting as well, the idea that, you know, touching things in the natural world, like leaves and grass, feels a lot safer than touching things in an urban environment or other people in this context.
Currently, yeah. And it can also be a way to find some kind of solace from the loneliness that the pandemic might have caused, I think, to be kind of held by the earth, for example. You know, if you lay in the earth, you can really feel, if you have that that thought process that it's also touching you or holding you, it can really shift something, I think, in your body, that you also get from intimacy with other humans. Maybe it's not the same thing, but it definitely can be a healthy way, especially during things like the pandemic, or, you know, if we're in the kind of situation that we're currently in, you know, moving in and out of, depending, you know, obviously in Australia we've been so lucky that it hasn't been as intense as other places.
In the imprints artwork, I suppose another interesting aspect of it is that you were in full PPE, so I guess that made people feel like it was a safe thing to do, but also it removes something about the way we normally touch our humans, which is with our skin.
Yeah, I think because there was also a whole process where there's like a preparation process that both of us would be going through before having contact, which, you know, you were talked through how to kind of prepare, which involved a lot of sanitizing and obviously putting the layers of PPE on, but also a kind of reorientation towards care and intimacy in the world, because I think there's been this kind of strange situation where we've had to have distance and had to keep each other safe, but it's also created this kind of fear of the other, and it's creating this othering that's I kind of wanted to try to find a way to reorient ourselves towards maybe a future, thinking about a future that we're still able to have the kind of care and intimacy that creates a world that the kind of world I'd like to live in. Yeah, but it definitely is a strange feeling to be so close to someone and so in such an intimate space, but have this plastic barrier going between you.
I mean, do you think the pandemic has fundamentally transformed our relationship to touch and how we feel about it?
I can't see a world, I can imagine, but I don't think it's where we'll go, where we won't have touch. I think humans are most, you know, most humans are kind of from birth, I think, you know, oriented towards touch and having a kind of tactile relationship with the world on a scale. I know different people have, you know, different levels of needs in that space. I do think that, of course, it has shifted how we consider it, because there is this fear and there's this measuring of distance between each other more now. And I think it will return to, you know, a normalcy of hugging people as greetings and things like that. But I think that people will be more, some people won't want to go back to that at all. And I think also people will have more consciousness around it. It might, which isn't particularly a bad thing. I think it could be also a positive thing where, I know there's a lot more communication around, you know, what's okay or what's not okay because of that. But maybe it's also something that is helpful with things like consent and how we're relating to each other, that we can have a conversation about what feels safe or doesn't feel safe, which I think is really positive. So I don't really think that we won't have touch in the future. I just think it will be different, or has been different. And I think in Australia, where we are now, yeah, we're still in the midst of the pandemic. I just had to cancel some exhibition performances that I was meant to be doing in the Blue Mountains this weekend because of the pandemic, border restrictions and things. But where we are is also quite far from when this artwork, for example, was first made. And I think this is kind of where, this is the world that we're going to keep being in, this kind of precarity of sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not okay. And we just have to keep being comfortable in, in that ambiguity and, which in a way, like I said, I think will mean there's just better communication around it, but I don't think there'll be. Sorry.
Okay.
Phone ringing. Yeah, I don't think there'll be a world that doesn't have touch. I think it will keep. Yeah, sorry. I feel like I'm rambling a little bit now. Interrupt me anytime.
Well, you've kind of touched already on what you think the future of touch will be. What would you hope for the future of touch?
Oh, I'm someone that craves touch. So I think, you know, my hope would be that in, you know, a safe way that we can have more connection and ways to share that human connection as well as the connection that we have with the non-human world as well. That's my hope, I guess. I don't have much more to say on that. I think it's just in a safe way, finding ways that if things like more pandemics, if that's more common, which, you know, is likely, and then we need to figure out how that can happen. I find the digital world quite exhausting. I love it and I love technology. I love being able to have a video call with someone, you know, across the world, but I also find it really exhausting compared to having a face-to-face conversation with someone. And yeah, so I hope that we have less video calls and more in-person time. Although I do love the components of it, like being able to connect with people across the world.
It's really interesting how different it is being face-to-face, but still acknowledging the kind of way that technology facilitates access.
To be honest, like I love, you know, this is an audio conversation and it doesn't have that, it doesn't feel exhausting. Like I guess it's how many senses are you trying to engage with, and the thing with video is you're trying to have a in-person type connection, but you're not in person. It's never going to be the same thing because you've kind of flattened the body. So yeah, I don't know, maybe it's a future technology that as well that will create experiences where you have you can have a more physical digital connection, or you know, being able to facilitate the kind of haptics that create the same, almost not the same, but an almost experience of touch, which, you know, is also really interesting, I think.
Yes, like something that would remind you that you have a body. That you're and other people have bodies.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I think there's definitely a lot of interesting ways that we can use technology. Maybe for my next artwork, do that.
Great. Everyone will have to keep an eye out. I think we'll wrap it up there, but was there anything else you wanted to add about touch before we finish?
No, I don't think so. It's been really nice to speak to you. And, yeah, I think just that to remind people to breathe and try not to feel too much fear of each other, reorient ourselves towards care and intimacy. Just a reminder of how important intimacy and connection is. It's kind of all.
It's a great note to end on. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Hannah. I hope it's been helpful.
It's been great.